if you would kind of go on a mental journey with me right now and just envision something that inspired you in any time of your life. Something like the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. Maybe it was a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise, or maybe it was about someone's life story. Just envision that thing that has inspired you. What did that vision, that thought, that moment, what did it do for you? Didn't it take you away? If only for a little while, for a place of rest or comfort, escape, or just maybe some excitement about the fact that, hey, you know what? I could do something greater in my life. Whether we take in the magnificence of God's creative works or just marvel at the accomplishments of others, these things give us hope, enlighten our minds to teach us, and they make our hearts soar at the possibilities that are in our life. When we're able to learn new truths about the world that we live in and the deep love that God has for us, it is all made possible because we have, the title of today's message, if you take out your outlines inside the bulletin, we have inspired knowledge. Inspired knowledge. The passage that I want to use today is Colossians chapter 3. Go figure. I'm still in the book of Colossians. And the main theme of Colossians is what? One more time with everybody involved. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So, these two scriptures just really speak about this Christ being in you. Read it with me, please, and don't just be reading it to speed read through it and say, okay, we got done with that, now the pastor's going to pontificate upon the... Wow, that's a pretty big word. Woo! That's pretty impressive, wasn't it? Okay. But as we read through these words, because this is the word of God. This isn't man's word. This is God's word. And just let it get into your heart and get into your mind. Mostly engage your mind. Read it with me, please. And slowly, we're not going to speed read. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Go back to the very first sentence, if you would. Let the message about Christ in all its richness do what? Fill your lives. What does that mean to you? To have it fill your life, the richness of the message of Christ, to fill your life. Don't you wish that they would make a fuel for automobiles that you just filled it up one time? Yeah. And then the fuel would just regenerate itself. Yeah. And that the faster you used it, the faster it would regenerate itself. Yeah. Right? Wouldn't that be a great thing for the Word of God? That when we fill up our lives with the truth of His Word, that it would just continue to fill us. And as we act upon the truth of God's Word, that we would just be inspired to continue to let the Word of God fill our life and be in our every being. Oh, the hazards and the things that we would not do anymore to ourselves and to those around us if we would allow the Word of God to fill our lives. Not to just fill our mind with the ability to just, oh, quote it and repeat it, but no, let the Word of God and all of its richness fill your life, that everything that you do and say, as it says at the end of the passage here, that whatever you do or say, that you would do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And that you would allow the Word of God to manifest itself, to live itself out by giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for all things. God, I really thank you for that jerk that just cut me off in traffic, because you are going to teach me patience. Is that the way the Word of God usually emanates from you? Absolutely not. Now, the jerk about the other drive, now that part's in there, right? But the thing about, Lord, I guess today you want me to just slow down and just let others just go in their own way. Do you let the Word of God, the message about Christ and the richness of it, do you let it fill your life? How many of you panic at bad news? Why? God is still on the throne, and He's still in control. Oh, we're going to have things in this life that we experience that are going to be trouble at times. It's going to be a lot of work. However, we let the richness of Christ and the message about Him, when we let it fill our life, then we don't let the things of this world crowd in and worry us. We don't get all up and anxious about things. Instead, we do what Suzanne was trying to teach the kids. We go to that altar and we pray. We call out to God. And we have Him fill us with the richness of what Jesus says about us. We teach and we counsel each other out of the wisdom that He gives, not out of the wisdom that we have accumulated, although we go through certain troubles and trials in life, so then that way when we see another troubled individual, we are able to speak to them and go, you know, I'm not walking necessarily the same path that you are. However, I had this trouble in life, and this is what I found as the hope to get me out of that hole of hopelessness. His name is Jesus. And He was the strength that I called out to that helped me to be more of an overcomer instead of being overcome by the things of this world. Because the authority of Jesus' words and because of the authority of Jesus' words, we are to respond appropriately, which means that we have the privilege to hear His words. And as we do, we should plant them deep as we would plant seeds in the ground. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23 says this. Jesus had just told the parable of the sower and the seeds. And verse 18 to 23 is the answer. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, it's because the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, He lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word, understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. What is the word of God doing in your life? What seed, what are you producing? Because the word and the message of Christ is so filling your life that you are reaping fruit because of it. What are you doing with the word of God? How is it being lived out in your life? Well, let's go to point number one to fill in. The Logos of Christ, and don't get scared of that word. Logos is the Greek word that just means word. Logos is Greek for word, so you could write above Logos, word. The word or the Logos of Christ inspires health to the sick, life to the dead. It drives out demonic spirits and transforms the spiritually decayed forever. The word of Christ, it inspires health to the sick, life to the dead, drives out demonic spirits and transforms the spiritually decayed forever. Think about it. When Christ came across someone who was sick, what did he do? He healed him. He said, your faith has made you well. How many of us in this room, when we have had a place of sickness, some disease that has come upon us, we have cried out for anointing, prayer, and received healing. Amen? And it's because we put our faith in those things that the Word of God tells us to do. Because James chapter 4 tells us, if any of you is sick, call for the elders and let them anoint you with oil, laying hands on you and praying over you, because the prayers of the righteous avails much. Christ's word inspires health to the sick. It inspires life to the dead. Jesus, prior to entering into Jerusalem for his last time, stops to see his friends who are mourning because of the death of their brother Lazarus. And Jesus doesn't go immediately upon hearing that he is needed there. Instead, he waits a couple of days, just still ministering to the needs of the people that he's engaged with at that time, knowing that when he gets there, his word will call forth the dead. And he gets there, and the mourning and the weeping is going on, and the wailing is of the people because of the death of Lazarus. And Christ comes up, and it's one of the most touching places in the Scriptures, because it says that, you know, Jesus connects with our sorrow. You know that Jesus connects with your sorrow? Because it's one of the shortest Scriptures in all the Word of God. It says Jesus wept. But he also comes to give hope. And he says, your brother is not dead. He's asleep. And everybody laughed. Oh, Jesus, you've really lost it now, haven't you? Oh, all this trial, all these people coming against you, you've really lost a handle on what's truth. No, we put this guy in this tomb. He's dead. Well, roll away the stone. What? Roll away the stone. Okay. And the people are wondering what Jesus is going to do next. And he stands at the entrance of the tomb where Lazarus has been laid dead. And he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man gets up out of his garments. And he comes forth. You see, it's the word of Christ that brings life to that which is dead. Many of us, even though we may be alive, we may be sending a pulse down our arm, we are dead to the things of God. This morning, I want you to know the word of Christ brings life to that which is dead. And his spirit in you can arise. Amen? So the Logos of Christ inspires health to the sick, gives life to the dead, drives out demonic spirits. Oh my. And this is a place where a lot of Christians go, "Oh, shudder, I don't want to go here." And yet, this is what we deal with in life over and over again. You see, are there some people in your life that you might be having some real struggles with? You don't know what's really going on inside of them. And yet, it all could be because there's a demonic spirit within that person. Oh, they might present themselves as being very healthy and very wise of the ways of God and things, but inwardly, there is a demonic struggle going on for their soul. You see, Satan wants to take as many people to hell with him as possible. And he will delude the thinking of man's thoughts. He will take a person captive. And how he does that is by us. Does he just come and overwhelm us? No. We allow him entry by the things that we take part in. Have any of you played games such as Ouija board? In fact, there's a movie out right now called Ouija, isn't there? Yeah. Do not see it, please. There are movies out there that give us thoughts that we should not be entertaining. Right? The sanctity of the life of a person is no longer in the minds of those who are producing movies. Instead, we celebrate when somebody blows somebody else away. Maybe we have taken part in a seance, and it's that's another reality shows that we have on television. Thank you now, you know, for bringing that into our homes. But when we watch these things where people are, "Oh, there are spirits here." Well, yeah, there are spirits in this world. They're evil spirits. And we just don't allow ourselves an opening to those. You know, if you take part in, and I'm not trying to, you know, just name sins, but if you take part in drunken binges, if you take part in drugs, you are opening up your heart and your mind for a demonic spirit to attach to you. But understand this: greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And though we battle against flesh and blood at times, please understand that we are going through some spiritual warfare with certain people who are demonically possessed. We see it in our everyday news, folks. Why else is road rage at an all-time high? You know, one of the greatest crimes going on in Prescott Valley, I will report it to you if you do not know this, is domestic violence. It is the number one problem that the police department responds to here in our little valley. And we think it's all peaceful and calm and serene here. It's not. We are letting rages and angers overtake our thoughts because we have allowed things to come in and we have not told them to exit. Children of God, by the word of Christ, demonic spirits are gone. The word of Christ also transforms the spiritually decayed forever. There are a lot of people walking around in this world today that though they might acknowledge who Christ is, they might acknowledge God, they will not make him Lord of their life. And instead, they want to be Lord. They want to be in control of themselves. Honestly, folks, it's not the way God wants it. I don't make the rules. All I'm reporting to you is what the Word of God says. That either God is in control of your life or he's not. And we make those decisions each and every day and each and every activity that we partake in. But the Word of Christ, the Logos of Christ, will inspire transformation to those who are spiritually decayed forever. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 24, read this with me, please. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Jesus said that. Those are his words. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has what? Eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. Woohoo! 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says what? For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Have you been renewed? Have you been born again into the seed of Christ's presence filling you so much that he just exudes from you in everything that you do? Next, the Logos of God. The Logos of God. We've got the Logos of Christ, but here's the Logos of God inspires song. The Logos of God inspires song that is created from hearts of gratitude. Gratitude. The Logos of God inspires song that is created from hearts of gratitude. This past week in the Revelation study on Wednesday night, we read that there are how many songs in the book of Revelation alone? 13. Yeah, I do know it. That's why I'm able to say no. 14. There are 14 songs just in the book of Revelation. The largest book in your Bible is called the book of what? Psalm. What is the book of Psalm? Songs to God. It is the largest book. And it's right there in the middle of your word. You know, God's word inspires song that's created by grateful hearts. How many of those psalms are about thanks to God? About his great sovereignty? Well, just about every one of them, right? So what does that model for us, that we are to be people of great thanks unto God? Even thanks for the bad times that we go through. Because it's in the bad times. You know, it's funny. When everything is going really well in our life, we don't give God a whole lot of thanks. We just kind of coast along. Oh, man, this is great. Oh, man, oh, look at how well I'm being blessed. And then when we go through a bad time, what do? God, where are you? Why did you abandon me? What's going on? You know, and then when God wakes up, God never slumbers. But when you are finally in tune with what God's Spirit is doing, and you go, oh, God, you're there and you rescued me one more time. Why? So that I can give testimony about how God met me in my time of need. You see, the Logos of God inspires song that's created from hearts of gratitude. Psalm 146, verse 2 says what? Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God as long as I live? Yeah. You know, I get made fun of in my family because when people bring up different subjects, I just immediately pop into song. And it's funny because we've noticed at family gatherings that my niece has also adopted this singing spirit. And you know what it does? It gets people laughing or groaning. I'm not sure which one now. As I think back, Okay, I might have to work over that one just a little bit more. But people love to hear joyful music and joyful people. And people of song are people who are joyful people. Amen? You know, that's pretty much, and I hope I don't embarrass you today, Danielle, but that's how we met Danielle. We were at Walmart shopping. By the way, she works at Walmart on Glassford Hill. And Danielle was helping us as a sales representative does. And we were looking for an object, and she was sure she knew where that was. And so we were on our way to where the department was that held this thing that we were looking for. And as we're going along, Danielle is just, she's singing. She is just singing. And I just went, girl, because I'm an old dude. And I can say girl because she's a young girl. Girl, where are you using that beautiful voice of yours? And she said, well, in church. I go, what church? And she told me the name of the church. I go, oh, I know that church, and I know the pastor. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, it's really escaping me. What's his name? And she looked at me like a deer in headlights. And she totally forgot. She totally forgot. And both of us were sitting there trying to come up with his name, and between Suzanne and Danielle and myself, we finally came up with his name. And I said, it must be a long time since you've been there. And so I invited her. But you know why I invited her? Because I wanted to capture that joyful singing spirit that Danielle has. And hopefully you heard it this morning for the first time in our worship team. And we hope that we have a long life together in that. But what did it take? It took the Spirit of God in me to hear the joy of the Spirit of God in her. Because the Spirit of God brings music, and it comes from thankful hearts. Amen? Man, if you're ever down, if you're ever experiencing a time of depression in your life, I mean, I know I'm the only person here that does that, right? Wrong. If you are experiencing a time of depression or something really down in your life, put some worship music on. Put some worship music on. And get your worship on with it. When you transform your thoughts into the music of praise unto the Lord, guess what will happen? The spirit of Satan cannot hang around where the praise of Jesus is also happening. Amen? So you will drive out that spirit of depression inside of you through the music. I got the music in me. I got the music in me. Oh, sorry. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says what? For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is far more than a record of human experience or a report of spiritual realities of long dead people. The word of God is living and an active power, a timeless moment at which in our own time and space we can meet with the living God. Amen? God expresses himself in the revealed word and continues to act on the truth within it. The word is both recorded truth and our moment of truth, both truth about God and the place where we meet God personally. I don't know about you, but there are times when I know that I have been low in spirit. And I have maybe begrudgingly taken my Bible and opened it up. And normally when I am low of spirit, I go to Psalms because I want to be encouraged by those who have gone through struggles, by those who have seen that God is victorious. And when I start reading the Word of God, it transforms my mind and my spirit because I am starting to hear the truth instead of hearing the voices of doubt, of hopelessness, of despair. And instead, I start hearing the promises of God and the truth. And I let His Word transform my heart. This word that was written by men long ago dead is living and active and still able to minister to every need. In fact, that's one of the things that I have found out about life. There is not any experience of life that is not talked about here in this word. I don't care if it's past times or modern times, the word of God is living and active, and it's active in my life. I hope that it is also active in yours. Lastly, the Logos of the Holy Spirit, the Word of the Holy Spirit, inspires truth for my mind. It inspires truth for my mind, and it guards my heart. The Logos of the Holy Spirit inspires truth for my mind, and it guards my heart. Where did this book come from? The Holy Spirit inspired men just like you and me to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the things that God would dare to say to us. God speaks to us in His Word. It's there. And the Holy Spirit has inspired that truth. Why? Well, it's for my mind. and it's to guard my heart. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When did Jesus utter those words? When Satan was tempting him, right? 40 days of prayer and fasting. 40 days of being out in the wilderness, just inspired by the Holy Spirit to go out and have alone time with the Father before he starts up his ministry. After 40 days, Satan would dare come up and say, "Hey, Jesus, you know you can make those rocks into a loaf of bread. Oh, don't you just love the smell of a fresh baked bread? You know, I mean, just trying to worm his way in there any way that he can." And Jesus says right back to him, "Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What's every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? It's called the Bible. And this is what we live by, folks. The biblical word cannot be separated from God's personal presence and power. In both testaments, the word is how God expresses and exposes himself. God's creative word brought creation into existence. God spoke it. It happened, right? His prophetic word unveils the plans of the future. His 10 words or commands outlined his plan for moral order. His love for us was ultimately revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. His presence and power is given us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide for living according to the Word of God. God can never be isolated from his utterances that Scripture calls out to us. And when we combine the message with faith, we will discover God and his infinite power, his everlasting strength, and a peace that will pass all understanding. Let me ask you this question. Is your life the sum of your existence? Is it inspired knowledge of God? Is it inspired by the knowledge of God? If not, folks, reading the Bible shouldn't be a doldrum thing. Rather, it should be an exciting time where we are sitting down and meeting with our Father to say, "Lord, speak to me today. And give me words that will guard my heart and my mind, but also give me words that I might teach and counsel others that come in my life as you give me the wisdom." Let there be a song on your heart from the truth that you learn from God's Word. And have a grateful heart for everything that He's done for you. Because God has laid out the plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Though we are inspired by things like the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, or other great works, or maybe even other people's lives, be inspired even greater by the knowledge of God's Word. Amen.